We're entering an exciting time of the year for us. We are now beginning to see our students come back and a lot of new students coming back with us as well and coming to be with us. And very excited about that. There are a lot of things we have planned for this month. One thing I want to mention, and I know that Josh is going to mention this, but I'll go ahead and mention this now because we've got some flyers in the foyer. But we have an upcoming meeting with Dee Bowman that will be coming up August 21st through 24th. We can print as many of these as you need, so grab them. They're in on the table in the foyer. Let's pass these out. I'm expecting that we're going to have a record attendance for our meeting, and we're going to have some real good opportunities regarding that and trying to reach the community. If you haven't yet filled out a visitor's card, please do that. Love to have a record of your visit. And we're trying to certainly make contact with our new students. I know Yvette has been making effort to try to get an email list together. And if you're not on that email list yet, we'd like to get you on that. And we'd also have our regular students, too. Be sure we have your email. We're wanting to let you be aware of things we're doing. And we could talk a long time about that tonight. But for now, let's just start there. And we want to make good connection with our students as they come in, particularly our new students. You get to know us, we get to know you. One thing about being a student, you learn about tests. And there are tests that you'll have in the course of the school year. But I want to talk with you this morning about God's test. And I've titled my lesson, Will You Pass the Test? And really, I could have titled the lesson, I've got another outline, actually very similar to this, that I called it the people of God, a tested people. God will test us as His people. Just understand that in the beginning. God wants to mold us, to build us, to develop us. Let's talk about how He does it. First off, in the Old Testament, we read about the prophecy of how His people is going to come to be. Zechariah 13:9, it says, I'll bring the one-third to the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. You want to be the people of God? You're going to be tested. You're not here today because you've taken the easy road. You do not become a Christian because you take a survey and find out what the majority of people want or don't want. You become the people of God because you have loved God, have loved truth, and you've been able to go over obstacles that were in your way. Let me just show you. Book of Acts is filled with examples of how that happened. In Acts 13:48, talking about people who became Christians, it says, now when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as have been appointed to eternal life believed. You may look at that, whoa, what does that mean? Appointed to eternal life. Well, I believe that what we find in God's preordaining or foreordaining of people, he was talking about a certain kind of people. A people who will be willing to be tested and succeed in the test. For instance, in the preaching of the gospel. In Acts chapter 14, we read about there's two responses to the preaching of the gospel. It says, now it happened in Iconium that they went together to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke that a great multitude, both of Jews and of Greeks, believed. A lot of people believed, but notice, another reaction. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brethren. Have you ever wondered about that? Same message, same presentation, some believed, some did not believe. Why do people believe? Why do people not believe? What is the process by which you end up in one category or another? I would suggest to you that in order to believe, you've got to come down and face obstacles and go over those obstacles. It's not easy to believe. It really isn't. God wants men to believe, but commonly, like in Acts 28, you read about when the message is preached, different reactions. It says, and some are persuaded by the things which were spoken, and some disbelieved. You even see that in the nation of Israel, the people of God. Of the 12 spies, 2 said they could take the land, 10 said they couldn't take the land. as you begin to study the Bible, you are not going to find the Word of God written in the way that you think it ought to be written. You're going to find the Word of God is written in such a way where you will struggle at times. Matter of fact, to tell you the truth, if you ever want to develop belief, the precursor of belief is doubt. You should not be afraid of doubt. God's Word is perfect. God's Word is truth. But God's Word is written in such a way where if you're going to find that truth, you're going to have to fight for it. I'd like you to really think about that in the course of our study. And that's why, as you look in Scripture, why, as Jesus said in Matthew 7:13, He talks about broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go by it. Later on, He says, difficult is the way which leads to life, and few who find it. Why is it so? Did you know if God wanted to convert all men and convince them that, let me phrase it this way, if He wanted to convince all men that He was the Son of God, He could do it. Jesus could have walked up on when He did a sermon and did His power presentation in the sky and says, point one, lightning, I am the Son of God. And everybody go, this is the Son of God. It does, you know, it's really easy to understand that. Jesus did not preach that way. He taught in a way. Did you know He rarely said He was the Son of God during His ministry? He made those statements, but they were rare. He let people struggle with misconceptions and struggle. He presented His lessons in a way where somebody was going to find the truth. They were not going to be easily offended. There's a purpose in this. And that's why as you go through Scripture, you will see this design of God. Like in 1 Corinthians 1, God wants to give a message that honestly, if you're proud, you're going to reject it. If you love riches and you're determined to let riches be the number one thing, you're going to reject it. If you're just enamored with wisdom and want to look at yourself as being the smartest guy on earth, you are going to reject it by design. And I'm not quoting the full passage here, and you can go look at the full passage, but the essence of it in verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things that are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Did you know commonly in Scripture, the simple, uneducated person who had very few things and very little background in the Bible, those are the people often that came to believe first rather than the person who had studied God's Word all their life and were the scribes or the Pharisees. Coming to believe deals with a kind of heart. Now, I'll tell you, truth is powerful. In John 7:17, excuse me for the overhead mess up here. I didn't realize I had a couple of duplicates here. But in John 7:17, Jesus says, if anyone wills to do His will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak of my own authority. During the giving of the parables, they asked Jesus, why do you speak in parables? And basically, he tells them the reason why he speaks in parables is that he wants people to fight to find the truth. And if they're not willing to fight, they're going to be in unbelief. Verse 13, therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts